fantasy. Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we're talking actual footy predictions. Just a bit of a fun show as to who's going to win the flag, into the eight, that sort of stuff for next year. But before we get into it, we actually have to record from a separate location this week because it got a bit fiery in the studio last week and the bickering continued throughout the week. But we've made up. We've come to an agreement where I'm going to buy the Statesman a Palmer.
And me.
And Steve. We're going to buy each other Palmers, basically. And the way it's going to work is I'll buy one if Deludio averages more than Dalhouse. Steve will buy one, Burgoyne over Zach Williams.
Oh, no, if Zach Williams scores more than...
averages more than Burgoyne. And the Statesman's going to buy us a Palmer if Devin Smith averages more than the Capricciosa Stevie Motlop.
No. If the Capricciosa averages more than... You've got it the wrong way around. You've got it ass backwards.
I've got it ass backwards.
What happens if they all fail and we're sitting there with two Palmers each?
Excellent. Have you ever had the double Palmer?
It's a good night.
It's a good night.
Dave Strader will be. So welcome to you, Steve. If you had two Palmers, what would they be? Would they be classics or if we go down to the old RSL on a Wednesday night? And
well, you know, I like my crack pepper Palmer down at the RSL with the, what do they call it?
Chorizo
and...
Mushroom?
I'm always... Yeah, chorizo and mushroom. Love mushroom. And I'm always partial to the... you know, the barbecue one with barbecue sauce.
Oh, the Aussie and, with the egg on it.
No, well, I like the Aussie one, but they don't have it there, but they got bacon on it and barbecue sauce.
Like an Aussie pizza on your Palmer.
Something like that, yeah. Like a meat lover's style. Yeah.
You can get that. What would you order, Statesman, if you had to have two Palmers?
Sucker for peppered sauce. So one will be a natural Palmer, the other one will just be a plain schnitzel with peppered sauce.
One thing we know about the Statesman is he pay the $3 extra to get the side salad.
Well, I'd go chips and veg.
has to be the salad. You don't serve salad, I'm going somewhere else.
My goodness.
Oh, have you seen that ad with Alec Baldwin? He's here.
That's fantastic.
No, I saw it last night. He's talking to this boy. He goes, "What the hell have you done? You've combined your pizza and schnitzel."
That's stupid because they have Palmer in America. But as we found out, Jono,
it's horrendous.
It's not great. But how's the side? Oh, I'm sorry. There was no mention of chips or veg or chips or salad. Here's a bowl of pasta.
Yeah,
that's your side with the Palmer.
It's a Palmer and pasta.
Palmer and pasta. No. Dead set is.
You can't see this, folks, but the look on Statesman's face is just priceless.
No.
I came back to the RSL and I'm like, you wouldn't believe what they serve with your Palmer over there. And Johnny goes, a bowl of pasta? I'm like, what?
No. And a mate of mine had that pasta and was ill for 2 days.
Well, I had it in the Bronx, good Italian neighbourhood, and it was a top draw.
But if you'd like to follow us on social media and tell us about your favourite Palmer flavour, you can do that by heading over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or shoot us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. And if you're really liking the show, head over to iTunes, leave us a review, tell us how to improve the show, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we love those review people, something you can help us out with, and it only takes a minute to write a review. Or click the 5 stars, whatever.
Yep. But today we're talking actual footy predictions as to what's going to happen in 2017. We're talking flag tips, rises and falls out of the eight. And if we've got time, maybe even the Statesman can give us some predictions on the new women's league kicking off.
He is the doyen.
Yes, he is.
Of all things willful.
But gents, open up to you. Who was your choice for the premiership and runners-up for next year? Starting with you, Steve.
I had GWS winning the flag. They're the bookies' favourite. Obviously, they've improved their team greatly. And despite Zach Williams' decreased fantasy output...
But they will not be doing it with Brett Deludio.
No, not at all. Or Devin Smith. It's a big Stevie J year. GWS to win the flag. And I got the Bulldogs runners-up. I thought the Bulldogs had everything go wrong for them last year that could possibly go wrong, and they still managed to win the flag. But I just think GWS might have that fire in the belly.
And I will go GWS as well. I know that really sounds easy, but their just list looks so superb. They got the experience this year. Sometimes you've got to, you know, have a bit of hurt before you learn how to win one. I've got them actually playing against Sydney. I just think they've got fantastic talent. Callum Mills and Isaac Heaney will just take the next step next year. Yes, they lose Tom Mitchell, but I think they're replacing that with a fair bit of exciting young talent. That academy program is going to work really well for Sydney for a while. And while they've got that sort of top end on their list, I think that's going to pay off. And obviously, they're going to be a little bit better than they were last year, of course, with Tippett hopefully being fit and firing for them as well. So that's my prediction. It was really hard to leave the Bulldogs out, but I just compared their actual home and away season is going to be pretty tough. They travel the most out of any Melbourne-based club, which is going to be quite challenging for them. And I think they're going to be thereabouts. It just all depends who finishes off in the top four and who gets the home final. So I think they're going to be the clear top three, but picking GWS over Sydney.
Yeah, well, I've got it the other way around there. Statesmen have got Sydney taking out the flag this year. They only fell just short in 2016 there. But as you said, with those kit guys in Heaney and Mills taking that next step, that's that building block foundation for them. We saw GWS put up a great fight in that prelim final. I think they do make it to the big dance. But again, they're going to take maybe another year just to win that flag. Bit of stage fright, the hard and toughness and experience of the finals campaigners in the Swans just get the job done for me. And bit of revenge from 2016.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I just maybe wonder about Sydney's backline a little bit, obviously losing the Richards.
Yeah, that hurts.
Maybe weren't big losses, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Look, they're all great teams.
Yeah, all great teams. I can see them all being in that top four as well, so we're not right or wrong.
Can you see anyone else actually coming into that, challenging that top three? Is there anyone actually else?
Geelong, if they get lucky, maybe?
I actually think West Coast. I know we'll talk about them a little bit later, but I think West Coast are every chance to bounce back. I think they went up and they took that step back this year, and maybe they just got a bit of resolve this year. Obviously, they've brought in some fantastic leadership with
Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell. Look, the ruck situation is probably gonna hurt them. And there's question marks over their defence as well.
You don't think so, Drew Petrie can handle it?
Well, the dish, you know. He's a man of many talents. And he's old, so I obviously love him. if there was a team to step in, it'd be them. Just they really have the scoring power, and I just think sometimes when you rise, sometimes you take a step back and reevaluate.
Yeah, I'll talk about West Coast a little bit later on when we start getting there talking about the eight. I think Geelong are the one, but they have got some deficiencies, even though you look at their midfield group and say, how exciting is that? So Geelong just maybe have a few more holes, but all you need is one or two of those top three that we talked about just to have some key outs, and all of a sudden you've got an even playing field. But I'll be quite happy to say GWS, Sydney, Bulldogs and Geelong are the top four. It seems a little bit clearer at this stage than what it was last year, but we know how wrong we can be with footy predictions.
That's,
well, I remember having Fremantle go to the grand final last year.
Yeah, and speaking of Fremantle, do you see them actually getting into the eight next year, Steve?
No, look, I've got our list in front of us, and I'm the clear outlier. I've got the Tigers moving into the eight.
Back in the eight?
Yeah. I know the trendy picks, and the Tigers aren't one of the trendy picks, but I look at what happened over the trade period, and I think they did the best. They've added Deon Prestia. A year removed from his ACL, he's a fantastic player. He's one of those hard ball winning midfielders. He can use it on the outside as well. They've added Josh Caddy, goal-kicking midfielder. He's a fantastic player. They've lost Tyrone Vickery. I think that's a good thing. It opens the door for Ben Griffiths.
Don't forget Nan Curvis as well.
Well, they've added Nan Curvis. I think Dustin Martin goes back inside forward 50 to spend maybe not the majority of the game there, but I think he spends sort of 30 to 40% game time in there. He's an absolute gun one-on-one player and a fantastic forward. I think it's going to hurt his fantasy output this year a little bit as well, mind you. But I think they've added so much through the midfield. They've got the best defender in the game in Alex Rance.
Not Christy Aaron?
Oh, buddy.
Too soon?
Oh, buddy. I just think, look, with a bit of luck with injuries, look, there's going to be a bunch of teams fighting for that eighth position. The Tigers have got a softer draw than they've had before. It's rated one of the easiest, which may or may not count for anything, but it's rated one of the easiest. So I think when you've got some of these other trendy teams that you guys will talk about with harder draws, I'm not sold on St Kilda. They could prove me wrong. That's fine. But I just think Richmond are a team that's not been spoken about. They still won 8 games last year. They're still thereabouts. And they've added some absolute class to their team.
Yeah, I've gone with a few, actually, because, as you said, that competition was so even this year. I've gone with Melbourne, St Kilda and Freo. I think they bounce back with the quality that they get. Melbourne I can see because they were just dynamite last year, just missing out, and they've added Jordan Lewis and their younger kids will improve yet again, especially with Jesse Hogan.
And Hibbard,
yep. The defensive stock's down there. St Kilda, they've added some bigger body mids.
Lost Harry Ola.
Is that official yet?
Is that a loss?
I don't know. Christian Salem, is he sighted, fit?
Oh, yeah, apparently he's had a thyroid problem, and they think that's on top. I don't
know. Not good.
I'm not a doctor.
But, again, Melbourne and St Kilda, they're going to be in that same bracket as the Tigers, as we all know that wherever you finish, they break it up into lots of six there. And Freo should have the easiest draw, but I can see them bouncing back straight away. Statesman.
Yeah, I don't know about Freo. I just think they've got too many holes at the moment. And obviously, doing a major list overhaul is a unique challenge. How long that takes to gel as well. And those interstate clubs, they just have to have so much going right for them, especially over in the West because of the travel factor. And it is quite important, especially when it comes to recovery. So for new players into that model, it actually takes a bit for them to get used to it. You need to be seasoned campaigners, even the West Coast Premiership years and the Fremantle Grand Final year. You look at those lists and they were pretty well structured. They'd hardened souls. They'd lived that sort of lifestyle together as a group for quite a while. So it's a unique challenge for them, being such a big and long trip. For coming into the eighth, I've actually picked three clubs, and to be honest, when I looked at this, I come up with 12 different clubs that I think could actually fit between third and 15th, and looking at, you know, it's one or two wins here or there, one or two injuries to be the difference. I think it's that middle range is going to be very, very even. St Kilda's my first one. I think they've got a strong midfield and forward line. When you're moving Nick Riewoldt out of the forward line, it means you've got a pretty good structure there. You're happy with it. They've got a much stronger defence, which was their weakness. Carlisle Brown's going to be hugely important, and you add in Steele to their midfield. I think they're naturally on the rise, and now they've shown up their one weakness. Melbourne, again, their natural development, the new Hogan's Heroes, I'm going to call them, are going to push for a final eight position. Hibbard and Lewis actually gives them another little dimension and a bit more seniority, and I think they would have to have some real bad things happen to them not to be knocking on the door of the eight. And it's just really evaluation. This could fall apart after five rounds, or this could be breaking attendance records. I believe Collingwood have the best midfield group outside the top eight. They had some weaknesses, and I think they've shored a fair bit of that up. They've got Wells, Hoskin, Elliott, Dunn, Main and Keefe coming in. Two of those, importantly, covering a few holes in that defence and giving them a bit more class up forward. And then you add on potentials in Jamie Elliott, who's a surprising and very talented player, and, of course, the GOAT himself. And I think if it all works well for Collingwood, they've got a really tough start to the year. I think they play Western Bulldogs their first game. If they go through Anzac Day in a plus record, I think it's going to be a massive year for Collingwood. And I think they've got the chance, firstly, to save Nathan's career, but also finally paying back what some people have been saying the promise has been for quite a while.
It feels like they're either going to be fantastic or mediocre. And there's going to be no in between.
It's been like that the last 2 years. You look at them 2 years ago, first 10 games were unreal. Didn't give a yelp last year, other way around. So,
well, I mean, it's just they absolutely mix it with the top team. We saw them beat Western Geelong. Sydney, Geelong. They ran Hawthorn to a point.
And the Bulldogs as well for three quarters.
But they lose two games to Melbourne, so it's hard. Yeah. It's interesting you both mentioned Melbourne and St Kilda. I can see Melbourne more than I can see St Kilda. I think everyone's pumping St Kilda up. And you know, there's always a natural tendency to go, everyone's on the way up, but sometimes... the next step doesn't happen. And like you said, Statesman, 3rd to 15th could be a couple of games. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
But with teams going into the 8, we must have teams going out of the 8. And I think we're all in agreement here. We've all gone with North Melbourne after about 20,000 games worth of experiences, either being traded or delisted or retired from that team. But...
according to you guys, that's fantastic. They'll obviously win the premiership because all the old guys are out of the team. Ah, gotcha.
No, we're talking point scoring, mate. Not
so we're all agreeing to that one, just but Statesman, you have a couple as well.
I certainly do. Hawthorn is my first. Now, if you look at the statistics from 2015 to 2016, you'll see a massive change. And the key change to that is actually their percentage. They started showing signs of a club that was waning. Again, our wonderful old players were dropping their averages. Sean Burgoyne is going to just jump off the cliff as well, no doubt. But they were showing signs. And hence they had such a shake-up at the end of the year. Now, my thought process is that they've got so many other older players who are so important to that team now, whether it's injury, form, slowing down, or whatever the case may be, there's going to be a fair bit of pressure. I was also assuming at that time that Roughhead would not be part of their forward line. I think he's so pivotal to what actually happens here. You've got a risk with O'Meara. If O'Meara comes off a Roughhead sitting in the forward line, then I think you almost have a different conversation. It's really weird just talking about two players like that. But I think that's where the Hawks are at. I look through their midfield and I don't see a lot of stars. I don't see the elite level that Melbourne and Collingwood have. I see some good troops. And it's even in reflection now, you look at Hawthorn and they did really, really well by having a few stars but a lot of role players and they all played their role really well. I don't know if they're at that level and I don't know who the next general is after Hodge. So that's why I've got them there. And last but not least is the West Coast Eagles. I have two issues with them. Firstly, their variety in the midfield. I just don't think they've got that standout burst pack, real high-level quality. And I know a few people say, well, look, Shuey's the man. I reckon he's in between a workhorse and a flashy, classy player. And of course, the big issue with them is going to be their ruck. We know there are a few slight concerns with the back line, but I think they're growing a few youngsters. And I think the forward line actually looks good with, certainly with Kennedy there as well. So I don't know why this gut feeling is that the West Coast Eagle are going to drop off, but I just don't see them there. Nothing of that list sort of grabs me to see, say they're a potential premiership team. I could be proven well and truly wrong, but I think a few things go wrong for West Coast Eagles, and they already have with two ruckmen out. I think they're going to unfortunately have a tough year.
Would the word you use to describe them be vanilla?
Yeah.
Where'd we like to
run? Well, you look at their a pick number three midfield, you just hope is dynamic. I mean, they've had two number threes in just over a decade. One was Chris Judd, which I'd absolutely love to have in their list now. The next one's Chris Marston. And I suppose you're looking at, well, where's that next sort of real line breaker that's just going to burst them up? Because they seem to have a spine that looks okay, but you haven't got the midfield that's really going to control. And Sam Mitchell, great leadership, but I just think he's sort of another Pretis in a way.
So you don't... Well, I mean, it's probably the way you describe Luke Shuey is a good way to describe him, but I see Andrew Gaff bouncing back in a big way. I know he's not the fastest cat.
That was more of an injury, but, concussion affected.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a big year. Yeah,
outside class.
Yeah. Jono, you had the Hawks.
I did have the Hawks, and Statesman touched on a lot of those points. And one important was we saw they had a lot more, as Statesman said, the percentage affected them. They didn't put the teams away like they had been. And those games that were actually close, instead of, you know, Sean Berg going getting in the midfield and winning those games, they actually, the coin was on the other, flipped on the other side, where they were losing those close games of 1 to 10 points, we'll call it a close game. So,
again, so you don't think Sean Burkhorn can win every game for him off his own boot?
Hell no.
You know, the interesting part is we're talking about percentage there, and the team that had the best percentage out of the eight, we didn't even touch on going into. That was Port Adelaide, who welcomed some talent back.
Okay, interesting.
So, are we wrong?
No, probably not.
You're not going to make the eight.
No. I'm a big Port Adelaide guy, but hey, like you said, it's a very tight
competition. That's 3 to 15, exactly, yeah. Right. Anything can happen. The wooden spoon is pretty much a foregone conclusion here on the Draft Doctors by our selections. We've all gone with Brisbane, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on why.
I'll start off, gents. I just think they're in a rebuild phase. There is a potential that they might win some games, a bit like Carlton did this year, but they are so and far away the youngest list in the AFL, and I think they'll play that way. And of course, they've got the totally unreliable Dane Beams heading up their midfield group.
I thought Captain Rocky would be doing that.
Do you think he's got the Himalayan pink salt going? He's a bit salty. Yeah, look, I saw your guys' tips and I wanted to be different and say Carlton, but I just couldn't bring myself. I think Carlton are in for a long season, but I couldn't bring myself to, like Brisbane, they don't have the scoring power, they don't have the defending power. They've got some great pieces in the midfield, but yeah, like the Statesman said, they're rebuilding.
How long do you think it'll be until Carlton start showing some form where they're contending for the eight?
2 years?
Oh, I actually don't know. The way Carlton are going about things, I'm not... It's going to take a real leap from Patrick Cripps for me. They got some great pieces in the back line, but until they do something to add some firepower to what they can do and more depth, I'm not sure bringing in all these recycled GWS... Like, there's a reason these GWS players weren't getting a game. Like, for me, I maybe don't see the light at the end of the tunnel that other people do. I know they did nice things last year, but I'm just... I don't know. I mean, maybe they... I just don't see it.
I don't think they'll get the spoon, but they're certainly not going to be jumping up the ladder a la Melbourne.
I just think they need to recruit a big name, or you know, someone good, because Murphy's just about done. He's a bit wishy washy. Gibbs didn't want to be there.
Bashed and crashed a lot, Murphy.
I don't know. I don't see it the same way other people do. I just think these second rate GWS players, I'm not convinced.
Not gonna fill the gap.
Yeah.
I think they're doing two things, and contrary to what you guys are saying, I actually think they're only 12 months behind Melbourne. So I think we'll be talking about them probably verging into the eight the following year. They've had a lot of young draft picks. They've drafted very well. They are developing them. They will need to be in their third and fourth year, which is coming. So I reckon 2018, 2019 is when they'll be pushing into the eight. I know that's different from your thoughts, but the list management, that's what I reckon it looks like.
The problem is the other teams are getting good as well. Like, I mean, what if St Kilda get a fife? Like, it's been other teams get better.
A re-emergence of Essendon.
That happens. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, worst comes to worst, we've got some good fodder for our You Guys Suck show.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Now we're moving on to the part of the show. We're going to talk about some Brownlows, Coleman medals, and we're going to give you some odds.
Love having a punt. Something.
If you like having a punt, yep. So
we had some really good picks last year.
We did. With my picks, I use Sportsbet to get my odds, but there's a plethora of sporting agencies out there, so do shop around and you can certainly get some better odds. We're going to start off with the Brownlow. What we're going to do, we're going to talk Brownlow, Coleman medal, Rising Star. We're going to give our favourite, and then we're going to give our rough, our smoky, our outsider chance that we think can get up. And for the Brownlow, I honestly couldn't go past Patrick Dangerfield. The guy's a star. He's in his prime. Geelong are going to be up in the pointy end of the season. There's other people around that could get him, but can't see anyone beating him again.
Yeah, it's hard to go past him. That's $5 to me. It doesn't interest me at all. I just don't care. give me a guy at $23 who polled 21 votes last year
in a team that didn't make the eight.
Give me Adam Treloar, the clear number one midfielder at Collingwood. You think Collingwood's going to improve? This is a little bit of a, I'm not going to say hedge, but it kind of feels that way. If you think Collingwood are going to improve and get into the eight, then Adam Treloar is going to have a banger of a year. And you're getting him at $23, and he was at the pointy end of the vote count last year. So to me, that feels like sensational value. You can even take it each way and still make some decent coin if he gets into the top three.
Mm.
So that's
And just to clarify, you didn't pick Collingwood in the eight. I did, mate, so I'm the one that'll get the value out of that one. I've picked for Marcus Bontempelli. And very short odds, yes, $7. I just think the second half of the year he played the role he should for the Western Bulldogs, which is in the guts. He makes a massive impact. You can't miss him when he impacts the footy, so he's going to get the votes. He did vote reasonably well this year, and again, the first third of the season was probably wasting away down in the forward line. So, and to be quite honest with you, I think all three picks for the Brownlow are very good. Steve, who did you have for a smoky?
The leader of the Hawthorn midfield, I got Tom Mitchell at $51. I mean, that's pretty fantastic value for a guy who's going to be playing pure mid in a team that I know we're sort of talking about them slipping out of the eight. Maybe they stay in the eight, but if he has a banger of a year and can average that 115 in Supercoach, he's going to be winning a stack of ball. He's going to be under the umpire's nose all day. And to me, $51 for the main man in a midfield, that's pretty fantastic value.
It's pretty juicy. I've gone with the only bloke who's going to get votes at this team. That's Paddy Cripps from Carlton, because he has no competition. As Steve has said...
Reece Palmer?
Oh, God, no. As Steve has said in previous shows, that he is the number one clearance guy at the club. He's going to be under the umpire's nose, taking words out of Steve's mouth. The guy's a gun. He was, fourth or fifth this year in a team that was down the bottom four. So $26, get on him now.
Look at the statesman going outside. gone real outside here.
Yes, I have gone outside, and a man that actually has going to have a bit of competition at his own club. I've gone for Isaac Heaney, effectively the man that's going to replace Tom Mitchell in his role. I think he's certainly one with that beautiful white hair of his. He's continually going to get noticed. There's no doubt about that. But this boy can seriously play too. And this is about time he's going to step up, play a fair bit in the midfield, crossing over into the forward line and kicking some goals. This man is going to be one of the best players in the competition, probably for the next decade now. And I think that's quite worthwhile to throw probably $4 or $5 on 101 for Isaac Heaney to win the Brownlow.
Well, I had a mate who had $5 on Woe Woden at 250, so it can happen.
I think mine is a much smarter bet.
Oh, quick story on the Brownlow. Back in 2012, my brother had $10 on Trent Cutchin to win at 51-1.
Did he get paid out? Oh, it was a ticket one, wasn't it?
It was a ticket, and when he lost, he threw that ticket out, and now...
That's a shame.
That's a shame. So hold on to your tickets,
oh,
people.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but hold on to your tickets, even if it is 4 years after the fact. Yeah. But if you don't like the Brownlow, but you like a goal kicker, my Coleman medalist for 2017... is Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast Suns, the good Tom Lynch, paying $6.50 on
the
Sportsman. The handsome Tom Lynch, and probably going to be the captain, you would imagine. I mean, he was top three in the goal kicking this year in what was a pretty dismal team. You got Barlow, you've got Ablett coming back, you got Swallow coming back. He's going to get the supply.
Pierce Hanley.
You've got all these guys in this midfield just kicking it down his throat all day long. Wouldn't be surprised if he kicked 100.
Well, John, just drank the Kool-Aid there, buddy.
I have.
How about I reinvest my winnings from last year when I successfully tipped JJK?
Low-hanging fruit,
but it's a winner. It's true. So, 325, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't take JJK again. He's clearly the main man. That's all there is to it. I mean, look at that run-up. It's dead-eye dick.
Stuttering run-up.
And, you know, Sam Mitchell can't hurt. Yeah, Statesman, who do you like there, buddy?
I've gone Buddy. He's at $4. But I must admit, for the first time, Jono's actually convinced me in something. And an improved side, you've got to think Tom Lynch is going to be a dead set chance for this. So I actually really like those odds of $6.50 for Tom Lynch.
Might have to pause the show while we put some money in our account.
Yeah, well, I had him as my smoky last year when he was... certainly thereabouts in a pretty bad team.
That's right.
But who do you have as your smoky, Jono?
My smoky, I thought I had Jay Roo, but it seems that Jack Gunston.
Well, you listed multiple chances for every bloody thing.
Oh, did I? Okay. Yeah. That's Jack Gunston from Hawthorn.
I just went with the first one.
All right, Jack Gunston. Well, this is going to go everything we've spoken about on the show. You've got Tom Mitchell, Diego Mira kicking it down his throat. We know he can take a good mark, and he's a pretty dead-eyed dick.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't even want to talk about the Statesman, so I'll go next. I've got Tim Membry as my smoky for the Coleman at $41.
He's burning up the training track at the moment.
Apparently, he had a real breakout year. Signed a new deal this week. Oh, sorry. 2 weeks ago. Movie magic there, people. Look, he was fourth per game in marks inside 50, seventh per game in goals, but had the third best accuracy of the top goals per games players, besides Josh Jenkins, who kicks all his goals from 1.5 metres out, and Cyril Rioli, who, well, you know, is fantastic.
Dribbles.
So, I mean, I think at $41, if you believe St Kilda are improved, which a lot of people do, then you could certainly do worse than, you know, they're going to have to kick more goals to win more games. So Tim Embry, $41, I don't think is too bad. Before I get to the vomit-worthy selection of our esteemed colleague, Jono.
Well, it's Hogan's Heroes, and that's what it's going to be this year. Tainted, the man himself. I think he's got a great opportunity, Jesse Hogan, in getting right up the leaderboard there. I think Melbourne are going to be a much improved team, and on top of that, he's going to be a much improved player heading into his fourth season. I think this is the time for the breakout, and I think we've most of us have been expecting a fair bit from Jesse Hogan as a key forward, and I think at 22 years of age, he's going to deliver.
What would you say to... I know you're more of the Dream Team fantasy player. What would you say about... I know key forwards aren't in vogue for fantasy, but if you're a super coach drafter, what sort of optimism would you have for his season?
Pretty high, actually. He's obviously a fantastic mark. His conversion at goal is fantastic, but I think that will improve as time. Obviously, Tom Lynch is just going to go psycho when it comes to the super coach scoring, but I think Jesse Hogan's going to be a mainstay for a long time, and I think it's pretty exciting that we've got the types of Cameron Patton, Tom Lynch and Jesse Hogan coming through, because our key forwards are going to come back in vogue well and truly.
Even I like Jesse Hogan more than Jeremy Cameron.
No.
Can kick a goal.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
our last one is the Rising Star Award, and I'm going with, as much as this pains me, I'm going with an Essendon player. It's Aaron Francis. He played the three games last year, so he had a preseason. He's got another preseason this year, and you would think an improved Essendon. He'll catch the eye of the umpires. He's paying $7. It's not bad. Get on him.
He's the favourite.
Second favourite, isn't he?
He's the favourite.
He's the favourite. Well, there you go. He's the favourite, as much as it pains me.
You're not a big Essendon guy, are you?
No, I hate them with a passion.
You haven't really hidden it either.
No.
At all.
I hate them.
We've got a lot of Essendon listeners.
That's good.
They must hate. They must love me by default.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. well, they can listen to me on my pick. I've got Jack Bowes.
Who?
From the Gold Coast, one of their academy selections, coming in at $17. I don't like taking first-year players for this award. Generally, it's been a not being a first-year player winning the award. But this is a guy who was academy product for Gold Coast, played in the NEAFL. This is a guy who racked up 30 possessions time and time again in their reserve. So he's already familiar with a lot of his teammates. Racked up 30 touches in the final they played. Can play, he's an outside-ish midfielder. Can play on the flanks. Can kick it inside 50, rebound 50s. I think he has opportunity to play, which is the big thing I'm looking for in your rising stars. And look, if you're versatile and you get opportunity and you can rack up the pill and you're at $17, I'll take a chance on you. That's good enough for me. And I don't think there's a lot of high-end, really high-end standout second-year, third-year players to choose from.
No.
Who sort of seem like real... Like we had Cripps and Hogan a couple of years ago seem like pretty handy decent things. So, I think you could do a lot worse.
And, gentlemen, I'll go Wayne Malira. You wanted a high-end second- or third-year player. Well, I've got one. Pick number 11 in the 2015 draft. Played 8 games in 2016. Extremely skillful player. Out of his 8 games, it included 20 possessions in the showdown against Port Adelaide. And another game he kicked 3 goals straight as well. Extremely classy, keeps hold of the footy. There was one thing that Adelaide was searching for during the trade period, was a classy on-baller. Well, they've got the man here. What a great opportunity to actually give a very classy player, who I will say was high up on the repeat sprints tests at the combine. So the man's not only quick, but he's got some endurance that match with that as well. So he's already got the tank, finishing his second pre-season, few games under his belt, very skillful player. They should give him the shot. And I think Eddie Betts suggested that Wayne Malira and Cameron both should go on the wing and just run wild. And if that happens, he'll be the rising star at $33. Probably the classiest player coming through from the 2015 draft, Wayne Mallira.
Can't get better value than that.
Certainly can't. Unless you pick one of our smoky picks, Steve. And I've got Oleg Markov from Richmond.
Is he in the UFC?
I believe so, yeah. He's a ground and pound kind of guy. Oleg Markov at $51. He's come back in ripping shape, and he's touted to take the Chris Yaron spot on the Tigers there. So he's just going to be running out of defence, kicking it to whoever. You've got a plethora of midfielders there. Going to catch the eye. He played a couple of games last year. And I can see him taking home the rising star.
And for my roughie, I've gone in odds-wise an absolute roughie. But this boy is going to turn 20 during the season, so he's got a bit of experience. He's picked number 22 in the 2015 draft. But how about this, boys? Now, this bloke is a magnet. 35 disposal he averaged at the Under-18 Championships in 2015. I'm talking about Kieran Lovell, Hawthorn Football Club. They need midfielders. They gave him a taste last year. This boy can get the footy. And they need some up-and-coming midfielders. They need to get Burgoyne out of there and Lovell in. $101.
Well, it's a shame they need him to win games, but that's look, you can't get better value than the Statesman Smokies out there at the hundreds.
Load that up into a multi.
Yeah, we were talking before about finding some high-end talent that's in their second or third year. Well, you got Jared Pickett, who's newly arrived at Carlton. $81, former number 4 pick. Had some injury troubles, hasn't played yet, hasn't debuted. But if there's one thing Carlton need, it's a bit of pace and a bit of class, a bit of
flair.
Yeah, so he certainly provides that. He started in the NEAFL last year pretty well. Had some injury troubles. Look, he's come back in good nick at Carlton. He's going to get an opportunity. There's not much competition for spots. Again, he's a high-end talent, so you certainly love that. It's $80. It's a speculative pick. He'll run through the midfield, half forward, hopefully snag a few goals, and he'll certainly catch the eye of the people who select the rising star, and sometimes they get it right, John.
Yeah, and if you are going to have a punt, please do so responsibly.
Wait, what?
Don't just go, $101. I'm going to put $100 on that.
Hey, you could multi that up with Heaney
and Mitchell and Cripps.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Statesman would like to say one more thing.
Most certainly. Just a quick wrap on AFLW. Obviously, eight sides in that competition. I think the major challenge for those clubs is going to be the flying interstate. I think on talent, Fremantle Dockers actually have the best list, obviously pulling a fair bit of the Western Australian players who effectively were second in the country. They did beat Victoria only 18 months ago, so they should have the best talent. I think out of the Melbourne clubs, Western Bulldogs probably drafted the best, so I think their list is probably in second position. And I also think the Brisbane Lions look a reasonably good outfit, but it'll be interesting to see if they've got enough older players to give them the on-field leadership. So if it was to base on talent, I'll go Freo, Western Bulldogs, Brisbane. Just because I think the travel will impact, I'll go Western Bulldogs beating Freo.
Boo!
Yeah, Katie Brennan and Ali Blackburn in that team. Go Doggies.
Give me the Mo Hope.
Mo Hope.
Barreling people.
Yes, she will. She's very skillful girl.
Yep.
That wraps up the show for this week. If you'd like to follow us on social media, head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, or send us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com, or head over to iTunes and please drop us a review and a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.